Hey, what's up? This is Brendan from the Lawrence Arms, and you are listening to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel, she's the bomb.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. This is Kristen. I'm coming at you from Boston, and my co-Mabel Jessica's with me. Hey, Jess.
Hello. Good morning.
You're coming at us from...
I never know exactly how to say this because, like, nobody knows where I live. Like, yeah. You can say Boston and the whole world knows that, but I'm coming from Northern Vancouver Island on the far west coast of Canada.
There you go.
If people Google it, they'll know exactly. Basically, I'm as far west as you can go in Canada, basically.
Yeah. I don't know if I told you this, but I was talking to my mom recently. She has a boat and they take it up to Canada sometimes, and she's stopped in Port Hardy. And then I told her where you live now, which I'm blanking on now, but and she was like, "Oh my God, no one lives there."
Yeah, pretty much. But people who have boats know, because there's like a huge boating community up here. So
yeah, and it's beautiful, and it's like a little hidden gem.
It is a hidden gem. Like, this is going to sound ridiculous, but like a lot of times, so my town is like 2,000 people, and the town that I used to live in 40 minutes away is like 4,000 people. But the harbor here, and like we're kind of a passageway because we're on an island between the mainland. So we get a lot of boating traffic, but there's people like Oprah come by on their yachts, and Bill Gates, and who else has been here? She was a housewife, and she was married to, David Foster, you know, the producer, musician.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, but because people, it's pretty amazing up here, but
right,
it's tiny in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And if you're going to boat from California to where I live, you better be Oprah.
Right.
It costs a lot of money and fuel, I imagine.
Yeah. Although,
so how are you?
I bet she doesn't boat that far. I bet she flies
probably
somewhere.
And someone else brings her yacht most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like her,
that'd be nice.
Her staff, her boating staff. Oh, her yacht.
Wouldn't
staff.
That be nice to have a boating staff?
Yeah. Can you imagine? That would be so weird. Their whole lifestyle is so bizarre to me.
That's why I have a little bit of an addiction to reality television, because it's not so much that I'm entertained by people on reality television, but I'm entertained by the fact that that is somebody's life to be on television, just doing what they do. You know what I mean? Like that they have so much money, or they live such a obscure existence that that's a normal day for them.
Yeah. What's your reality guilty pleasure? The Housewives?
Yeah. All of the Housewives. I've pretty much watched every single edition, like series. So
yeah.
Atlanta, Miami, Orange County, New York, Potomac. There's all of them. Yes, I like them.
Yeah.
But it's also just because it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, especially because they're all women, and I can't relate to a single one of them.
Right.
Just because they have so much money and they're absolutely batshit crazy. So it is my guilty pleasure. Like, kids are in bed, drink some wine, and just be fascinated with somebody else's obscure
crazy life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine. It's just the way they live is just so crazy.
Yeah. And they fight a lot. I don't really particularly like the fighting part, but I really enjoy like just to think that people live so differently, right?
Yeah. And how much of it is manufactured? Like, it's so hard to know with those shows.
Yeah. And there is a ton manufactured, for sure. Like, it's not like I'm watching it, like, you know, like National Geographic Channel. It's just...
Right.
But it's fascinating, yeah.
Yeah.
I find it interesting, too, like, what they get upset about, right? Like, the whole first world problem concept. But what's yours?
The Bachelor.
Yes. I have friends that are into The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and I have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Also fascinating. Who does that?
I know. And you root for them every single time. That's the thing, is that it never works out. They always turn out to be totally crazy, but every single time you go in with this like, optimism that right. like this group of people is normal and they're really going to find love and it's just going to be beautiful and magical every yeah. single time. And then it doesn't turn out that way.
I always find it fascinating with The Bachelor, and they have like, I don't know, is it like 20 girls or something at the beginning? Like they always find like 20 girls that are, they all look so much alike. I really struggle to keep them apart at the beginning.
Same. Yeah. So yeah. I try to remember their names and then I'm like, okay, that's the nurse that's crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of do that. Totally. Yeah.
But I also like, I love Survivor and I love Big Brother. And I also say that because I've been watching Survivor and Big Brother since the very first season, like in 2000. And I'm a diehard Survivor fan. My whole family is hardcore Survivor.
I didn't know people still watch. I didn't even know that was still on.
Dude, what?
I didn't know. Oh my God.
You can be – I belong to like Survivor fantasy pools on the internet.
Oh my God. I do that with The Bachelor though, so I can't talk.
See?
Just based on appearances, I'm like, that girl's going all the way. Like who fucking knows?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. So, yeah.
Guilty pleasures.
Guilty pleasures, yes.
And then
I guilty pleasures. I'm drinking coffee for the first time during this podcast instead of a drink. Because it's the morning time here.
Oh, and you have your Mabel Syndrome mug.
I do.
It's very cute.
I just ordered a new one for my Secret Mabel gift exchange girl.
Ooh, perfect. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I'm drinking my coffee out of a mug, but it's iced coffee because I'm a mom and my coffee gets cold ultimately always. So I just throw ice cubes in it and then I have iced coffee and I feel.
Oh, so it feels fancy.
It feels fancy. I'm like, and ooh,
and intentional.
Yeah. This has been here since like 6 a.m. and it's 1:30 in the afternoon and I'm still drinking it.
Can we also, on the topic of being a mom, just can I also say that my little baby just turned one this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Very exciting.
It's a big milestone. I always think like the parents need to throw a party for yourselves.
Yeah. I definitely like.
Like you kept this tiny human alive for an entire year.
During a pandemic.
Really fucking hard to do.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And I know it's not like a parenting podcast, but I will just say this one like last little thing is like, I feel like he woke up older overnight. It's very strange. Like he was taking more steps and he started pointing and he was like more vocal all of a sudden. It was really weird.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
But yeah. So my baby turned one.
Yeah. They do go through like crazy growth spurts. My oldest is 10, but it's a whole different thing, but he was accepted to play on this like elite baseball team league, which is really exciting.
Amazing.
And it changed him so much. He just played for like 2 months on this team and he's a different kid. It's like, it's really? So weird. Yeah. Just aww. How much being with other really great, exceptional kids like just made him up his game too a little bit or something. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Did it build his confidence?
Yes.
Amazing.
Big time.
You have such great kids. I love your kids.
Thank you. I love them too.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I caught you at the right moment.
And I like them. That's a whole nother thing, right? Of course I love them. But I do like them and I like being with them. And we're going to a water park tomorrow.
You're a brave soul.
I know.
You're a brave soul. But you look great in a bathing suit too. So.
Oh, please. Not after the pandemic.
So I just got back from a week-long vacation and it was a beach vacation. Not your kind of beach vacation. It's like a West Coast beach vacation.
Yeah, like a rocky beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, had a baby, pandemic. I eat too much. I drink too much. I've had like a very intense year of excess and I weigh more right now than I've ever weighed in my whole life. Fully aware of it. Know how to deal with it. Trying to get on top of it. But it was super hard being away and like knowing I had to be in a bathing suit that whole vacation. And I stressed about it for like the weeks leading up to it. But when we got there, I literally was like, I don't fucking care. I'm putting my bathing suit on. I am playing with my kids on the sand and in the beach and on the deck and everything. Because I just really tried to be like, my kids will remember me playing with them. Not like, oh, remember when mom was fat. So I worked really hard for that on this trip.
Good for you.
It wasn't
easy. First of all, it's all relative. So
right.
In my opinion, you're not fat. But
thank
I know
you.
How it feels to feel that, to be heavy for your own standards.
Exactly.
And know like, I used to be or I should be or I wish I was this weight and not be there. Obviously, I know how that feels.
Yes.
But yeah, sometimes you just got to put on the bathing suit and say, fuck it. I'm struggling with a very similar thing because I'm going to punk rock bowling in 2 months.
Right.
And there's pool parties. Uh-huh. And I'm a few pounds over where I wish I would be, like where I was last time at punk rock bowling or that kind of thing. And so I'm doing the same thing. Like, okay, I'm going to try to get in shape between now and then. I've exercised once since I said that to myself.
You'll start again on Monday.
Yeah, Monday. Starts Monday.
Next Monday.
Yeah, I have a vacation this weekend, so it starts on Monday.
Yeah.
But it's a weird thing because when you have to be in a bathing suit around all these people, and it's a first impression. So it's not family. It's not friends. It's like people I've never met before, people that know me through Mabel, like all this stuff. So I'm feeling pretty insecure about that.
It's hard. And you know what? A couple of drinks helps.
Yes, it totally does. You forget.
I literally did that too. I was like, you know what? I'm going to have 2 drinks, put on my bathing suit, and I'm just going to not give a shit. And you know what? I had the best time, and I swam in the ocean, and I swam in the lake, and I was on a boogie board with my daughter out in the waves, and like I had the best time. And you know what? She remembers the fact that I went and played with her. She doesn't
remember. And you will remember that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be like, yeah, I sat in a chair with this big cover up on the whole time and did
totally
nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. That was what I wanted to do, but I didn't. So I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, good for you.
So you should do that too, especially because punk rock bowling is so accepting too. There's so many different types of women and bodies and shapes and sizes at punk rock bowling. And everybody just, I feel like everybody gives a fuck inside, but puts on that front of, you know.
Yeah.
Or tries to be like that. And so
everyone's
you're
focused
be with
on their own shit too.
Totally. You're going to be really surrounded by such an amazing group of people.
Yeah.
It won't even matter.
Yeah. That's true. I'm really excited.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling about going to a festival like mid post pandemic ish?
Okay. I'm totally cool with it because I haven't talked to you since we took like a little break from the podcast.
We did.
So
surprise.
I haven't even had a chance to mention that I went to a beer fest that was outside. And I saw at that one, I saw Less Than Jake. I saw Face to Face and I saw Suicide Machines.
Amazing.
And that was my first time back at a festival. It was outside and it was in, oh my God, when was that? June. So it was unclear. It was literally everyone's first show back and I didn't know how everyone was going to do.
Yeah.
But everyone just like went balls in. Everyone's like, you know, screaming into the mic. Jay from Suicide Machines is like putting the mic out in everyone's face and everyone's screaming into it. You know,
oh my
just
gosh.
Like, just like a normal show, but it was weird for half a second and then you kind of forget, honestly. And it helped that it was outside, I think. Like that definitely helped.
For sure. For sure. And punk rock bowling will be outside except for the club shows, right?
Right. And I don't do the club shows.
Yeah. I there's like 2 bands I'd sacrifice a club show for. I know. Like it's so funny because I've been, you know, everybody's so excited about punk rock bowling. I'm not going, but like all my friends are.
Yeah.
And seeing everybody like, you know, sign up for these club shows and it's like a race to get your ticket and people are like posting that they got like 6 club shows and everything.
Right.
And I'm literally having a panic attack and being exhausted just thinking about what my friends are doing.
Same.
I don't think I could handle it.
So I'm probably going to lose a ton of punk rock cred for this. But I just – if there was a club show that I – there's a few bands that I would have to go to. And I absolutely would. I absolutely would. But the club shows that I wanted to see were bands that, A, I've already seen like fairly recently. Or the other thing is that – the band I want to see is playing last. There's 4 other bands before them, which means they go on at like 2 a.m.
Oh, my God, no.
Okay, so I'm coming from the East Coast, so there's already a 3-hour time difference.
Yes.
I'm 43 years old. It's already a stretch financially for me to go to the festival, book a hotel room, buy my flight. Like it was already a stretch financially. So you add on whatever it is, $40 a ticket or whatever for these club shows.
Yeah.
No way. And the other time I went to punk rock bowling, I skipped the club shows as well. And it was awesome. I loved it because I was rooming with a bunch of girls. So I'd go back to the room at like 1 a.m. and shower and do my, like, you know, do whatever I wanted to do, go to bed nice and early. I'd wake up when they were stumbling into the room at all hours of the night.
Right.
But I didn't finally wake up until like 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. I got a full like 7-8 hours of sleep. I felt like $1 million. I'd be down at the Starbucks in the lobby and everyone looks like they want to throw up. And I'd be like, woo, I feel great.
Ready to go. Me and you would be perfect punk rock bowling partners. We truly would. If I could make it, me and you would absolutely be like, okay, we're getting our chips and our Gatorade and we're going back to the hotel room. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning.
Exactly. I mean, you party all day.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm sitting out the party. I'm just sitting out the after party.
Yeah. That's great. I'm excited for you guys to get to go. What's the band you're most excited to see?
The Lawrence Arms.
Cool.
I'm really...
Have you seen them before?
Yeah, but only once.
Only once.
Only once ever. And Descendants, always.
Always.
Yeah. And then there's Suicide Machines. That's a club show I wanted to go to, but I just saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like okay with that, you know?
You're at peace with that.
Yeah. A good friend did buy me, because I said I wasn't going to any of the club shows. So I think they thought like maybe I couldn't afford it or didn't want to go or whatever. And so they bought me a ticket to Adolescence, which is so sweet. So I probably will go to that. Maybe. Right. I don't know. I mean, that's a special show. I don't know.
That is a special show.
We just have to see. And it kind of depends if I do work for Mabel. So another woman who's a photographer who kind of works with Mabel sometimes, we're going to put together a proposal to work with some of the women artists. Oh, Bad Cop's playing. I forgot about Bad Cop.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an obvious default. Yeah. Excited, yeah.
And so we're going to put together a proposal to photograph and interview some of the female bands that are there.
Yeah. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So if I'm working, you know, like I got to be on my A game. I don't want to be hungover. You got to be on your game a little bit. And I'm the worst hungover person ever.
Yeah. You're not very good at it.
No.
No.
I'm terrible.
That's a good thing. Keeps you in line a bit.
Can you function hungover?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Oh, God, no. No. I can function with like the headache, the like tiredness, because that's just basically how I've lived with the baby for the last year and a half or whatever. Yeah. But I can't function when I drink too much. I can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people that like gets, if I get too drunk, I lay in bed awake spinning for hours and hours and hours, and I can't sleep, and not being able to sleep is the worst thing ever. So I literally haven't been to that spot for a very, 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 very long time. And I avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it triggers my anxiety. And it just like, it's a snowball effect for me when I'm that hungover. Like if I drink that much, it's like, I can't sleep. And then I get anxious. And then it's like, I worry about worrying, and it's a bad scene. So I have a strict line I'm good at drawing.
Yeah. I hear you. And you add a show on to that too. And the next day can be really brutal. Like I just went to another show. So this is my first indoor concert I went to a few weeks ago, and it was a, what's the word I'm looking for? It was a fundraiser for a man who worked in the music industry who just passed away, which is a very sad situation.
Right.
But it was all of his favorite bands, and it was Sick of It All, H2O, Rebuilder, and Bouncing Souls.
That's amazing.
It was awesome.
It looked like such a good show. I saw so many like snippets from it, and it looked so good.
Yeah. Sad fact, he passed away 2 days before the festival. He was supposed to go to the show. It was supposed to be like his last show.
Oh my God.
And
I didn't
know
that.
All his favorite bands. And he passed away 2 days before the show.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So, but it was a nice celebration. His kids were there. His wife was there. It was a nice celebration of his life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A ton of like guys from Dropkick Murphys were there. All the Boston guys were there to show support and to show solidarity and everything. And it was an awesome show. I had a great time, but I got the post-show blues.
I think
it's partly because I hadn't been to a show. I went to that one outdoor beer fest, and I got the post-show blues after that a little bit. But this one particularly, I got the post-show blues. Like the next day, I was laying on the couch like, blah.
Oh, you know, it's different for me because the shows that I get to see are so – like I have so much space in between getting to see an actual show. Like I go months without a show, no problem. And so for me, the post-show blues are like hardcore because I know it's going to be like 6 months until I get to see, or for me specifically, because, you know, I always go out of my way because when I see a band, I have to travel quite a bit and stuff from where I am, but it's usually for face to face. And of course, like, I know I'm not going to get to see them for at least another year kind of thing. And it's always such a huge sadness afterwards. Yeah.
Not knowing when the next one is.
Totally. That's what it is. Yeah.
At least, don't know. At least I usually know what the next one is. I have a couple this summer. Off With Their Heads is coming here next week. So I'm looking forward to that. And then Menzingers with my new favorite band, The Dirty Nil.
Oh,
they're so fucking awesome. If you guys don't know about The Dirty Nil, they are rock and punk rock, and they are fucking amazing. They are talented, talented kids.
And they're playing with the Menzingers?
Yeah.
Oh, Menzingers are such a bucket list thing for me.
Yeah.
I still have never seen them, and they're such a big bucket list for me. Going back a little bit. If you died.
Yes.
Which isn't funny, but we're both laughing.
Yes.
If you died, what bands would be at your memorial show?
Oh my God.
just to liven things up a bit in our podcast.
Right? Well, it would be all my favorite bands. I think it would be
three.
Three? Oh, three. I picked three. Oh my God. How am I going to do that?
Pick three.
Bad Religion, Bouncing Souls. So I also want to make it a mix of like intense punk rock, fun, upbeat punk rock.
Okay, pick four. Pick four.
Okay. Bad Religion.
Yeah.
Bouncing Souls.
Yeah.
Face to Face.
Yeah.
And Less Than Jake.
Fuck, that would be a really, really, really great show.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
And like just those artists like playing with each other too, like
right.
That'd be great.
I think so.
That's a great lineup. I hope you don't die, but I would buy tickets.
You would go? Thank you. What would be yours?
Face to Face.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to name three more?
An acoustic set by Trevor Keith.
An acoustic set by Trevor Keith playing the Ignorance is Bliss, maybe. Songs. Probably Real Big Fish, because they're just like one of my happiest, diehard, never get sick of them, make me have a good time. Millencolin.
Mm.
So Millencolin, Face to Face, Real Big Fish, and I think maybe Propagandhi. So I think we got like some happy, good stuff, emotional stuff with Face to Face. We got some uplifting stuff with Real Big Fish. Millencolin, super nostalgic.
Yeah.
And Propagandhi would just be like some intense. Like power intensity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Would you go if I died?
I'd go.
Okay, cool. I also have something funny to say. Not funny to say. I'm really struggling with my words this morning, partly because it's the morning time, partly because we haven't done this for a long time. But
yeah,
I had a mutual friend of ours reach out and say that he's like, hey, do you have a tape deck, like a cassette player? And I said, yeah. And he made a mixtape.
An actual mixtape.
Like a legit mixtape. And
is this JH?
No.
Oh.
It's Talking Records.
Oh.
I forget his first name. I'm an asshole.
Jed.
Thank you.
So I met him. I got to see him in person and we got to chat.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting. So he lives in your area. He made a whole bunch of the same one. He's giving them to a bunch of people. It wasn't just like me special.
Yeah.
He made like a mixtape and was kind of passing it around. Oh,
that's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. What did he put on it?
I haven't got it yet. He just.
Oh, okay.
He asked me before he sent it to me to make sure I had something to play.
How do you have a tape player?
Vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Old vehicle.
And then like just an old stereo system in the house kind of thing. So
yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have anything to play it on.
Okay, so I was in a store the other day, and I noticed up on the shelf, it was like an electronics store, and they had a boombox for sale. And in the on the box, it said boombox, but the company that put out the boombox was like Victrola, like the old school. No, like the old school, like gramophone music listener thing. Fuck, I'm an asshole. The like, you know, like in the olden days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, like a record player with the big thing.
Yeah.
We're such assholes.
I love that we're doing so many. People can't see it, but we have a lot of sign language going on right now.
Yeah, a lot of gestures. So
that company put out the boombox, and I just thought, wow, that's weird.
Yeah, and it has a tape player in it.
No. Yes. 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 Oh. It's a boombox.
Right. 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 Okay. Well, boombox could have a CD player, I think.
I feel like boombox is cassette only.
Okay. Okay.
And radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
I used to have like a bright pink boombox.
Did you?
And when I was like 12 or 13. Aww. Yeah. Yeah. Very cute.
I feel like I need a boombox.
And it had to have the two tape.
Yes. So you can play and play record on the other
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Yeah. You had to push play and record at the same time and play over. Yeah.
Did you ever record songs off the radio?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you try to hear that first note.
Yeah.
And you always miss the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. That's so funny.
I wanted to ask you about, not to get too much into it, really. Oh, we really don't want to get too much into this.
Uh-oh.
But just in general, I should say there's another podcast that came out called Enough. And I believe for each podcast episode, they're going to be having a person on who was the victim, an alleged victim of a sexual assault within the music industry of some sort, some kind. Okay.
Yes.
And the aim is to get this out there, to talk about it more and all that kind of stuff. My question is, at what point, because there's two sides to every story. There's three sides to every story. There's who knows what. And at Mabel, we always support victims. We always, you know, stand by victims and that kind of thing. So at what point do you not become or do you like take away your fandom of a band that an accusation's been come out against?
Like separating the artist from the accusation or that sort of thing. You know, so I struggle with this a little bit just because I think about like my diehard favorite musicians. And if this was to come out about them, how absolutely devastated I would feel. Mm-hmm. That hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. No, that hasn't happened. So like the things that have happened in the last, you know, year, there's been quite a few of them that have come out about different musicians and different bands. I haven't quite had that situation yet. Like
where you've had to make a choice.
No, where I've had to make a choice.
Yeah.
Just because has it turned me off of their stuff? Yep. Definitely. Yeah. Like it's not the first album I'm pulling out anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I struggle with a little bit. I can't really speak to it so much because I guess I haven't had that situation.
Yeah.
With the recent one, I know we've had them on the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, promoted and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. I struggle.
Yeah.
I struggle with it a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm being completely honest. I'm not sure what the right answer is.
No right answer.
There's no right answer.
There's no right answer. And everyone feels totally different about the situation. Everyone has their history and their own traumas and things that they're bringing into the situation, that they're bringing into their decision making. And off record, you and I probably need to have a discussion about that podcast episode that we have out because we have taken down others that somebody has come forward about.
We have.
So there's a possibility that we might take this one down. Not sure.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that privately.
Yeah. I think also there's a lot of when there's an accusation that goes out, I think how it's handled like on the band side and the musician side, I think their response to an accusation would play into it. I think that is part of it. So, you know, if it was one of my favorite bands, you know, that plays the show when I'm dead.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd stop listening. I do.
Yeah.
I feel like I would. I feel like it would be absolutely crushing, but I think I would. So, you know, I kind of compare it to things. Okay. So like Michael Jackson.
Right.
Right. That like the most amount of controversy around that man for his whole entire life and his accusations on what he did and stuff. And he's one of the world's greatest, you know, performers. Do you stop listening? I don't know. It's like, am I sad to not have Michael Jackson in my life anymore? No. But like, right, does it make me want to dance in my living room? Still? Sure.
Yeah. If it's on, for me personally, Michael Jackson, just as an example, if it's on, I listen, but I don't play Michael Jackson and I don't give money to him or his organization and that kind of thing. And then there's only been there in my personal life, there's been two bands that I like that I no longer would go to their shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've actually talked to the victims personally. So I think that makes a difference too. We all come with our own thing. And as part of Mabel, people trust us with a lot of information. I get emails from women from around the world that really trust us and value our opinion on things. And so I've heard directly from these two women that were victims of different band members. And I stopped listening and stopped going to those shows.
Yeah.
Just because it grosses me out. And again, I don't know what the truth is. Probably that artist has a different opinion. If I were to, I only talk to the victims. So if I talked to the artist, maybe I would have a different opinion. I don't know. But it was enough information for me to be like, ew, I'm all set.
Not happening. Yeah. You know, it came up in our private Mabel like Facebook group, the women's group. And there was a lot of comments on there. And, you know, it was both sides like,
yeah,
no, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Everybody had their own opinion. And somebody said everybody has their own line to draw somewhere, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And so I think it's a personal decision. I think there's so many factors that play into it. And I do struggle with it. Totally. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, we're a collective that promotes bands.
Yeah.
And so we have to decide what bands we want to promote. And
I do think our bar has to be a little lower. Higher?
Yeah.
Higher? Lower? I don't know. But we have
setting the bar. I think it needs to be higher, right? Yeah, higher?
I think you're right.
We don't need to set our bar lower. We're already pretty low down there, aren't we sometimes? No,
I think our bar okay.
We have set our bar high.
I'm saying we set our bar low because the smallest transgression we probably need to take a pretty hard stand on.
Right. I see what you mean. Depends if you see the bar being high or low as good or bad. Like,
yeah. I never know what to say when it's like, it's all downhill from here or like it's all uphill, downhill. I don't know which way I'm going.
We basically what we're saying is we are trying to take a stance with even the smallest indiscretions. And we have to listen to victims and we have to listen.
It's
hard. It's really hard.
It's really hard.
Honestly, we're in a public platform where we're going to be damned if we do and damned if we don't. Mm-hmm. It just comes down to how I think me and you as the two people that run Mabel.
How we personally feel about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we have a private conversation and we make a decision and we have to just be okay with it, whatever we decide.
Yeah. And it's fucking shitty. And this podcast is like doing something amazing. I do think. I think that they're giving victims a voice. And
oh my God. How many bands are shaking in their boots right now?
So, okay. So I stumbled upon an article yesterday about rock stars in the 70s and 80s and groupies back then. And like definite, like the actual famous groupies, like there's like one of them that I started researching about, her name is Sable Star. And there's about five of them. And back then they called them baby groupies. They were like 14.
Oh my God. And
there's like this group of women now, some of them have passed away, but at the time, who were sleeping with, claiming, you know, she lost her virginity to David Bowie at 14 and sleeping with like all Mick Jagger and all these different people. And it talks, quite a few of the articles I read talked a lot about the culture of rock stars and how they're not, they don't get held accountable for it because they're rock stars. And because of the, when it happened and what was acceptable then and not acceptable now and all these different things. But it was quite fascinating. I kind of went down this dark rabbit hole of reading about all these girls and these women and, you know, it's not like that anymore. You fuck up. You're a douchebag. You're an asshole. You're in a, you're a predator. You assault someone, man or woman. You're going to get called out.
Yeah. And you never know. It's, I'm sure there's a lot of band guys that, you know, Warped Tour 96 did something that they shouldn't have done and they don't know what could possibly come out about it or not. And there's mistakes and then there's acts of violence and that aren't mistakes. Who knows? It's such a complicated thing. So not to bring the whole podcast down, but I just thought it was important to have a little discussion about it.
I would like to hear our listeners talk about it with us. I would like to hear feedback from people, what they think about it. Their opinion on like, honestly, like how we handle it, what we do with it too. Like, this is an open conversation for me that I want to have with other people and other women that listen. So,
yeah, for sure. I'm wondering like who is going to maintain their fandom of certain bands versus not. And where do you draw that line? Every single person draws that line in a different place. And where do you draw that line?
Yeah. So. I think that the hardest part about that podcast, it would be being a guest on it, like being a woman who comes out and tells your story and then having thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of comments talked about you on social media.
I hope she doesn't read.
I wouldn't be able to. I think that would be like, put it out there, turn the internet off.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Well, we have to wrap up. Do you have another topic or?
Let me look at my list. I wrote us a list. So on my list, I have catch up. We did that.
Yeah.
First shows back. Did that. Festival thoughts. Did that. And then at the very end of my list, I have rooster and chicken stories. But, you know, we can save that for the next episode.
Yeah, I want to hear about bad chicken, but we'll
everybody
we'll
hang in there. Everybody, this is the cliffhanger at the end of our podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode where you're going to hear about the fucking chickens.
Everyone, tune in.
Everybody's just like subscribing frantically right now. Yes. I can tell it. Everyone's like, subscribe. Yes. Notifications on. Yes. Can't wait to hear.
Can't what miss got the chicken to say. Stories.
They're good.
I like your chicken stories.
Okay, well, I'm stockpiling them for the next episode.
Okay.
Save me a segment.
Yeah. I'll say this and then I'll edit it out if we don't do it. But everyone should stay tuned too for the second half of this episode because we have another edition of Help Me Stay CD, which is always awesome.
I love that she's still doing that for us.
I know. She's the best.
She is.
We recorded this one a very long time ago. Like I said, we kind of took a break from the podcast. So this is an old one.
She's not still helping us. This is just old. We are so on the ball.
I know. This is from like a year ago, literally. Poor thing. We haven't put it out yet.
The people that needed help are like gone.
We're probably, if I even put this in, we're probably talking about like the new pandemic and stuff.
Perfect. Put it in. It has to go in.
Yeah.
To fit in with the flow of who we are and what this podcast is, you definitely have to put
there
it in.
There was a very, very old interview question with Stacey D.
Dying, oh my God. Okay. Okay, no, we got to go.
If I don't put that in, I will say thank you, Jess. It was always good to catch up and good to see you.
I miss you. I love you so much.
I love you so much. We need to pick a song for the end of this episode.
I know what song we could do. So it's not very original. Are you surprised?
No.
So because this is the face-to-face podcast, there is the guys released a single for their new album that's coming out just as like a promo. So we could, the new album's No Way Out But Through, and they released their new single. And now I can't find the name because I'm a fucking idiot.
It's the song No Way Out But Through, isn't it?
Oh, fuck me, really?
I think it so.
Okay, so let's start that over.
Edit.
So let's pick a song for the end of the episode.
Yes.
And because we haven't done one for a while, and because we jokingly call this the Face-to-Face podcast, I do want to promote the guys and their new album that's coming out soon. They release a single from the album, and it's this title track. No Way Out But Through is the song. And I think we should end the episode with that.
Definitely.
Okay. I love you.
How about you pick one and I pick one?
Oh, okay.
So I also want to end the episode with a song by The Dirty Nil. That's my favorite. I cannot stop listening to them.
Okay.
And they're one of the hits off of their most recent album. The song is called Doom Boy, and I absolutely love it. I just crank it up every single time and blast it. So we're also going to play that.
I'm excited. Two songs.
Yeah. And the yard guys just showed up at my house, so it's loud here now.
You have a yard guy? Are you a real housewife or what?
No. It's $20. Yeah. And every time I bust out – I have a pretty big yard. So every time I bust out my push lawnmower, I say to myself, I would pay someone $20 to do this.
Yeah.
So I just hire them for $20.
That's pretty lucky.
I know. I'm very lucky. That's
awesome. Yes. Well, enjoy your yard guy.
Yeah. Oh. Not like that.
I mean, if you want to, if it's a consensual,
I'm single,
relationship. If you can enjoy a yard guy, then and both parties agree, then go for it. But
exactly,
if not, just enjoy your lawn being tidy.
I will. All right, bye, sweetie.
Bye.
Hey everyone, this is Kristen with Mabel Syndrome, and I'm here with Stacey D for another segment of Help Me Stacey D. Hi, Stacey.
What's up, Kristen? How you been?
I've been good. You always give the best advice.
Yeah?
Yeah, you really do.
It's so funny.
You really do.
I was telling my mom today, I said, I'm gonna do this segment with the Mabels again. The Help Me Stacey D. And she goes, not you. and my boyfriend said the same thing. And it's only because I go to both of them for all of the craziness, you know, like.
Right.
The panic in my life. They see
the behind the scenes stuff.
They see when I'm panicking, you know what I mean? Nobody else gets to see the panic.
Right. Yeah. We see the good stuff. You can relay all of that to us.
Yeah. It's like, I do all the work though. No kidding. All the things that I say to do are things that I actually do. And if I'm to be completely honest, I would say a good 85% of the time, my life is fucking awesome. You know?
Yeah.
I'm way on the more awesome side than the less awesome side. So
that's a really good ratio. That is a really good ratio.
Thanks. Yeah. It could be even more. I'll be honest. It might be 90.
Oh.
It might be. All right.
That's cool. All right. So you're ready for this week's question?
Let's do it.
This is a specific one, but I think you're going to like it. Okay. So I think this is a woman. Yep, it's a woman. Okay. She said, I'm a 38-year-old newly single woman who hasn't dated in over a decade, and I'm not used to Tinder or any of the dating apps. Have you done online dating, or do you have any tips about it? And how can I feel good about myself and confident again?
Oh, you know, yeah, that rules. I mean, congratulations for getting out of a shitty relationship and into yourself. 38 is still very young, and I'm sure you're beautiful, and I'm sure you've got so much more to give when you're ready to somebody else. One of the things that I wanted to say is that, you know, I've got some other friends that are much older, and not much older, but like, you know, older that have the same fear of like people not wanting them anymore because we're aging, you know?
Right.
And I think that, you know, we shouldn't be afraid of that, because like at 45, I think I look better and am healthier and happier than I've ever been. And what a good time to be in a relationship with somebody is when you love yourself and you're in a really good place, rather than coming from a place of lack, you know what I mean? Or being with somebody because you think that you're lonely. You know,
but I would second that. I mean, just from my own personal experience, I'm 40 and I'm 42 and I'm single, and I feel the best that I've ever felt as well. Like the best about myself. Yeah.
Right.
Way better than in my 20s and 30s. I was a mess.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
It's like in your late 30s, and honestly, after you turn 40 is when things start making sense.
They make sense. They start making sense.
I don't know. We just kind of come into our own at that age, you know, which is something that this fine woman is probably going to find in herself, is that, you know, after not dating for 10 years, is that what she said?
Over a decade. Yeah. Over 10 years.
But she's recently single.
Yes.
So she has it. She's only been with this last person for 10 years.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. That's what I'm guessing. Yeah. So it sounds like she was either in a marriage or a relationship for the past 10 years, and now she's single.
Wow. It's I would say, you know, if you're recently single, you know, if you wanted to do any of that online stuff, I've never done it. I've never ever done it. And I'm really nervous too. I don't know if I ever will. I had some friends start it in an account on Tinder when I was at Punk Rock Bowling once. And they ran, it was dudes, and they ran the account the whole weekend just so we could laugh at it. You know what I mean? But I've never,
Bowling.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Funny. I didn't have any control. They picked all the pictures. They did all the correspondence, and they would just tell me some things every once in a while. It was so funny.
Yeah.
But I've never done it, you know, and I'm lucky that I'm in the entertainment business where I do get to meet a lot of people, you know.
That's true.
So that's probably.
But we do know friends. We do have friends that have met their significant others.
Tons.
Yeah. Lots that have met people that they've been with.
So it must work. Yeah, it must.
Right.
It must work. If you're ready to, you know, do what that, I've heard I say is go that it, for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard once it doesn't work until it does. So it doesn't work, you know, when you're just going along, it doesn't work. And then all of a sudden it works. So it doesn't work until it does.
Well,
so who knows?
And that also begs the question. It's like, are you even ready until then? You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So like, I don't know. I wasn't going to be in a relationship again until I felt I was with somebody that I really wanted to be with, rather than just somebody to be with. Because I thought I was lonely. I know that those relationships didn't, for me, never worked. You know what I mean? And I just decided that I was going to work at the relationship I really wanted, rather than to just be in one with just anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I had to be ready to be in that headspace.
Definitely.
To give, and the other thing is,
she might not want a relationship. She might want
a friend
with benefits, just someone to chat with. Like, you know, you can definitely get somebody to just kind of talk with on Tinder, somebody to be a pen pal and just kind of commiserate about your experiences or your life or whatever it might be. So if somebody's particularly lonely, maybe coming out of a relationship, that might be another thing to think about, is that you don't have to go into a relationship, but maybe
you don't have to dive all in. Yeah. Or, you know,
right.
But to, I think that's really great, Kristen. Yeah. Just to get back into meeting new people and starting new connections. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think that's empowering too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like taking control of what you want and what you want your life to be is, the biggest thing any person on this planet can do.
Mm-hmm.
Taking control of that and getting the life that you really want is what everybody needs to do.
Yeah.
So I say, go try it out. See if it works. And if it does, fuck yeah. And if it doesn't,
But Ben, keep low expectations.
Kristen aims low. Your,
yes. I like to aim low. I like to set the bar low so that I meet it every time.
Right. So I always meet my goal.
I always win. Yeah, exactly.
Ah, that's so funny. I love it.
Yeah. But keep expectations low. Just keep, you know, a pen pal or a friend. And then if something else more comes out of it, then you're pleasantly surprised.
Absolutely. You know, you're very much like my brother. My little brother would say the same thing, like aim low. And if you hit it, rad. And if you don't, you're not that bummed. You're not that bummed. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's
yeah. Super. Whereas you're a little bit more like put it out in the universe, like,
demand what you want. Demand what you want.
Right.
I think I wrote down what I wanted. No kidding. I think I wrote down what I wanted in a man before I met my boyfriend, and then after meeting him, you know, we have. He just inspired me. He was all the things I wanted.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like the other thing is like. I wasn't really looking for anybody either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was just like, if mm-hmm. I was to be with somebody, this is the kind of person I would want to be with. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
And this is what I deserve.
This is like, what I deserve. And this is like the things that I would want to do with them. And this is, you know, like, mm-hmm. and that is what the universe has given me.
Yeah. So I think this person that's new in the dating world, I think it can be really intimidating because if it's over 10 years too, Match.com might not have even been a part of it. They may have done no kind of online dating in that whole world. So it can be really intimidating. But if you see it as fun and just kind of interesting.
Yeah. I think I started filling out one of those forms once and I was like, what do I do? And I got so embarrassed that I took it right down. You know what I mean? So I can't get over, I can't do it. I can't do it. But I know it works for lots of people. So you it should does. Really, really try it and be braver than me and then let us know how it goes.
Right. Yes.
That would be nice to know.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Stacey. That was awesome.